couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Kaw.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week, we're rolling into Thanksgiving. This is our early week. We're coming to you a few days early because of the Thanksgiving holiday. And as fat guys, as the show title might insinuate, we do enjoy us some turkey.
Well, that's true. We actually did the show early, not just because all the movies open on Wednesday.
Oh, right. There was that.
I forgot. But we would be too fat to actually get off the couch to do the show on Friday.
Right. And for me, Thanksgiving's more of a religious holiday, so I can't work at all. You must worship the turkey.
That's just gross. Even though you didn't say anything crass,
right?
I got an image in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
Of you and a turkey.
Nice. Well, we'll let that image simmer. Let's talk about where you can get a hold of us.
Or bake at 425.
Exactly. You can get a hold of us.
20 minutes per pound.
Over at fatguysofthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store, search Fat Guys of the Movies. It's absolutely free. There is no charge to listen to us. We dare not charge for this.
Yeah, we're not dumb.
But make sure you leave us a review if you listen to the show. And, you know, negative, positive, hopefully positive.
I don't know. Screw the negative
reviews. We are pretty awesome, so I don't really see how someone would give a negative review of our show.
And also, just to let you know, in honor of Thanksgiving, I'm going to let you know that if you were to cook me for Thanksgiving dinner,
uh-huh,
at the proper temperature and the proper time, it would probably take about 3 days.
Okay.
Well, it's supposed to be, it's like 20 minutes per pound, isn't it? You don't know anything about cooking.
No idea. Anyways.
You're the kind of person who like says, I need to cook a turkey. You take a frozen turkey, you put it in the microwave, and you set it for 8 hours.
No, I tell
you
my
get
mom.
Get your mom to cook
I
it.
I tell my mom to cook a turkey.
I'll bet your mom cooks a mean turkey.
She cooks a mean everything. That a woman can cook.
Does she cook a mean possum?
I would imagine she would. She'll cook whatever Gerard Butler likes. That's for sure.
No, he'd eat a possum. He'd eat anything. Also, you could say, here, I want you to eat this rotten shoe with mold on it. And if he were drunk enough, Gerard Butler would eat it.
I see. Well, also on our contact list, fatguys at filmschoolrejects.com. That's our email. And leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. No calls again this week. I think either something's broken again or people don't like us.
Should I pull out my phone and call the number and see if it actually works? Because that's the only way we discovered it wasn't getting voicemails last time.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, why don't you call it while I introduce the first movie?
I'll tell you what, I'll do it during the break.
Okay, we'll do it during the break. Because we got to get on to this first movie because I want to talk about this. Our first film of the week, we got three to talk about this week. Four coming out on your Thanksgiving weekend. This is usually a pretty big weekend for movies, so very exciting. But the first one's Australia. It's Baz Luhrmann's epic story of a cattle drive across Australia and the Japanese bombing of Darwin, the city, not the dude.
You'd be a lot more comfortable if you changed into something a little less constricting.
You keep your eyes on the road.
Mr. Drover, there's only one tent.
We're not really used to
a woman.
Guests. We're not used to guests, that's what I was about to say.
I am as capable as any man.
You can't be serious.
Bring the horse.
Oh, this should be interesting.
I love intro. That's good.
This is a Buzz Lightyear's movie, is that what it is?
That's why I had to read the intro, because you always screw up Lerman's name.
I either call him Buzz Lightyear or Don Lerman. And for those who don't know who Don Lerman is, he's an old school competitive eater. He holds the butter eating record, like something like a pound and a half of butter.
Wow.
In like 6 minutes, yeah.
Butter. Gross.
that's a good Thanksgiving dinner.
Just butter?
Yeah, just butter. Sticks of butter.
Yeah, okay.
I forget how many it is. It's like something like eight. I don't know what it is, but it's a ridiculous amount. And
one stick of butter is a ridiculous amount of butter to be eating raw. Or not attached to other food. I mean, I've eaten things that have a stick of butter.
I wouldn't eat like attached to other food, like a pork fat lollipop with the butter as the stick.
Right. Well, I mean,
that's not good.
But like, I've eaten stuff that had a stick of butter. Like, I've eaten at Cinnabon before, uh-huh, and that's like two sticks of butter per bun.
Well, like Toll House cookies is two sticks of butter for the entire batter, which makes like a dozen or two cookies.
Right, and I've eaten a few Toll House cookies in my day.
That's true.
So, but anyways, back to this movie. I'll give you first crack at it.
Yes, that's right.
But I liked it. You know, to be honest with you, this is one of those movies that I could easily call one of the better movies I've seen all year. It really gets back to that kind of old school epic Hollywood fairy tale type feel. Kind of like, you know, in the same vein of Gone with the Wind and that same kind of big love story, epic visual that Titanic captured back in the late 90s. Not necessarily as great as those movies. I don't know. To each his own, I suppose. But I thought it was extremely well done, extremely well acted, and it's a big, sexy movie, man.
I will say this, and I'm going to... This is my gay show. I'm just going to part this out.
Because we're going to talk about milk, which...
Well, yeah, we're talking about milk later. I'm drinking a Smirnoff Ice green apple bite.
That doesn't make you gay. That just makes you... Well,
it's not a Sam Adams beer, which is usually what I have.
Okay.
But I also will say, People Magazine called or labeled Hugh Jackman the sexiest man alive, and I do not disagree with him. I have to say, there's a specific scene, campfire scene, shirt off, muscles rippling. I'll tell you, I was more attracted to him than I was to Nicole Kidman in that scene.
I'm not going to go that far, because Nicole Kidman is striking in this film. There's a couple scenes and... with her eyes. Are her eyes really blue? I don't know. I didn't look that up before.
But no, yeah, her eyes. It's just her face isn't all real anymore. It's all Botoxed out.
Right. But man, she looked good in this movie. The whole movie really had this very unique visual style. And it's something that you've seen before from Baz Luhrmann. Stuff like Moulin Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the very bright, vibrant colors. Very distinct tone.
And didn't he direct Pauly Shore in Jury Duty?
Did he?
No.
Dude, what? That Smirnoff's going straight to your head. But I personally thoroughly enjoyed it. It's one of those movies that I think that, you know, adults can go see and really get lost in. Even though it's 165 minutes, I don't feel like it was, you know, it didn't weigh 3 hours, I guess.
Yeah. No, you know what? I'll give you that. It didn't. My only thing is, it's because it was kind of two separate movies. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it as almost like he had this great idea for a sequel, but didn't think it would ever get greenlit. Mm-hmm. So he just kind of crammed a second movie into it. I mean, literally an hour and a half in, the movie ends.
Yeah.
I mean, it ends with a wrap-up and, you know, kind of this happily ever after kind of storyline. And then it, like, leads into another, which has the same sort of, like, thing you always see in a sequel where, like, well, now we need to separate the people and we need to have them get in a fight and we need to have this happen. And then it goes into this World War II thing. I liked both of them, right. Although I did think the second half was a bit rushed, which I think was because they were wanting it to be a shorter running time and there was talks about wanting to change the ending.
Right.
But, I mean, it kept my interest. It didn't feel like something like Miracle at St. Anna, which just dragged and dragged and dragged.
Right.
Which was a similar running time. The only other thing, it was a gorgeous-looking film. I mean, the landscapes were beautiful. And there were parts of it that looked fake, but I deliberately looked fake. And mm-hmm. then there were other scenes that just didn't look deliberately fake. They just looked bad.
Right.
Some bad green screen and stuff like that. So it's not a perfect movie, but I still thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's sliding into my top 10 of the year. So I'm going to get totally rocks.
I'm going to give it a kind of rocks.
All right, sweet. We'll be back. And we're back here in Fat Guys at the Movies, rolling right on through. I got two more movies to talk about, and I will say up front, I did not see either one of them. Don't really have a good excuse for it this week. I wanted to see Transporter 3, but Will Smith came to Cleveland, and that kind of derailed my plans.
But wait, you didn't actually go to that, did you? I just thought you sent your underling Brian Gibson there.
Oh, I did. You're right. That's a terrible excuse.
And you know what's so funny? I listened to the clip where, because you get one question, and he asks about Old Boy. And Will Smith is just like, oh, yeah, we're going to do that. It's happening.
Oh, that's real. That's real.
That's real. That's going to happen. I'm just like, wow. You should have just, he at least should have been like, hell nah.
Oh, hell no. But I tell you what, that was a really good scoop, man. People were really, really, really down with that. So, what is this? I don't know.
Oh,
anyways.
What are you looking? You're like, what is this email I got that I'm reading while we're doing the show?
but
no,
also
I do not. I do not want Viagra and Cialis pills.
Would you like to be larger? Yes. But also Four Christmases, which I unfortunately had to skip because it wasn't screening here. It was screening elsewhere, and I didn't have the opportunity to drive. But I will be seeing it over the weekend.
Good.
I think my mom wants to see it.
Sure.
So I'll take mom to the movies.
Speaking of Four Christmases.
Yeah,
let's
indeed.
Talk about it.
Okay.
Are you going to introduce it or should I?
Sure. It stars Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon as a couple who have been avoiding the holidays only to have to plow through four different Christmas celebrations with their broken families.
We just got to get through these four Christmases as quickly and as painlessly as possible.
Merry Christmas, Mom.
Hey, Dad.
Good to see you, Mom.
Merry Christmas, Dad.
Hey, these are my brothers, Denver and Dallas.
You must be Orlando's girl.
Orlando?
We're all named after the cities that we were conceived in.
That's disgusting.
That's you?
Mom, did you put that on the mantle?
I love that photo.
You look huge.
I ate my feelings, Brad.
She must have had a lot of bad feelings.
Bradley, I'm not trying to be your father. I'm hoping for a chance to be your friend.
Well, you were my friend. You were my best friend. But now you're sleeping with my mom, and it's a little bit weird for me.
This movie is basically, I think, made for people who think that their family's dysfunctional and has problems and needs to go see it and be like, yeah, we're bad, but we're not that bad. You know, I mean, it really
right.
makes
it's
you feel...
The Hollywood archetype of dysfunctional families.
Yeah, it makes you feel better about your family no matter who you are. I mean, unless you're like...
Wow.
You know, well, who's that woman? What was it?
Unless you're a Manson cousin?
Well, unless you're like Susan Smith, the woman who like murdered her children so she could have an affair with a guy. Do you remember that in the news? They made the movie, what was it called? Freedom Land was based on her.
Oh.
Yeah, so she probably has worse Thanksgivings. Well, not anymore because she doesn't have kids. I guess.
Her kids have, they've had pretty bad Thanksgiving.
Yes, yes. So, this one, the weirdest thing about this movie is the fact that, like, Vince Vaughn is like, he's something like 15 inches taller than Reese Witherspoon, and he's got to be 150 pounds bigger than she is because she looks like she's like 12 pounds. And,
right.
And he looks like he's pushing, 2.5 at least.
Right.
But, so once you get past the fact, because normally you watch these movies, like I just watched Fred Claus on DVD because they sent it to me, and you've got Vince Vaughn as a regular-sized person talking to somebody who's been digitally made shorter as an elf. It
right.
looks exactly the same in this movie, only Reese Witherspoon isn't digitally made shorter.
She really is that short.
She's just this tiny little girl. This one, comparing it to Fred Claus, which I was disappointed because it was directed by
came out on DVD this week.
Yeah, exactly. And
finally,
well, they always do the Christmas ones late. But that one was directed by Wedding Crasher director, the guy who directed Wedding Crashers. And I was expecting something a little more snarky and edgy, but it became kind of this family film, which is okay because I actually showed it to my kids and they like that. But Four Christmases is more of an edgy. It's a PG-13 movie, but it's still a little edgier, and it has some blue humor to it, and it has a couple spoilers about Santa Claus, so be careful if you're going to take your kids.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. Well, no, because at the screening, there was like somebody that must have had a kid who was like 6 years old.
And they got mad and walked
well,
out.
Well, I don't know what happened.
God, but like, I didn't want to know that about Santa.
Well, but they had the scene where they kind of like spoil some things. I'm like going, well, I bet you would feel stupid bringing your kid to a movie that's rated PG-13
right.
at Christmas time.
Unless you're one of those very liberal parents who tells their kids very early on in life.
Yes.
It also translates into you're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So you just,
Yes, but no,
I will say this, though. Can I say one thing about this movie?
No.
All right. The existence of Kristen Chenoweth.
Oh my lord!
Really, kind of makes my life complete, and her presence in this movie makes me want to go see it.
Oh, absolutely! And I'll tell you this: if Hugh Jackman made me go gay in Australia, this thing brings me back to the fold with Kristen Chenoweth. Because my god, she is a sexy, sexy lady, and she's like five foot nothing.
I literally when they announced this week that Pushing Daisies was going to be canceled after the season, I cried. For about 6 straight hours.
I can see you do that. That's because you take too much estrogen in the morning.
Right. That well, I cried over my Kristen Chenoweth Trapper Keeper cover.
Oh, so, how sweet.
You know.
Well, no, but this movie, it's funny. It's not perfect, but it's Vince Vaughn is able to do a little more of his ad-libby kind of stuff, and it has some funny moments. The only real complaint I have with it is the characters, they're kind of dreadful people. They're kind of abrasive and obnoxious, but that's what makes it funny. And like any right. Christmas movie, they kind of, you know, maybe about two-thirds of the way through, they kind of have to give it some heart and have to have a nice, warm feeling.
They have to learn some sort of holiday spirit lesson.
Yeah, and they don't... and so that kind of just sort of cheapens it a bit. But still, it's a cute enough movie. It's not great, but it's kind of a good movie for like a second date. I wouldn't go first date on this movie.
All right, cool. So what's your official grade?
It kind of rocks.
Okay, kind of rocks. And from ad libby, funny holiday spirit to some ass kicky, we move on to Transporter 3. Jason Statham kicks ass while undressing and driving a car really fast. Again.
I'm insisting on using only the best man for this assignment. Don't think of this as just another job. Think of it as a mission.
One condition. I drive my own car.
We changed the oil, gave it a tune-up, took out all the non-essentials.
I thought you might like company. You want to tell me what this is all about? When you pass 75 feet from the car, complete the mission, save your life.
Here we go again. You know, this film is, it's not as over-the-top as Transporter 2. If you remember that.
Really?
One. Yeah, I never saw...
Oh, yeah, that one was kind of... Where he drove the car...
And it flips over and he, like, attaches this magnetic thing to a crane. I mean,
That one was a little crazy. The first one was probably the most grounded in reality, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, this one looks like... And not to say that it could happen, because it does get crazy, and it gets really ridiculous near the end, but not as bad as Transporter 2. But, I mean, it's a little more believable. He, you know, Jason Statham, this is really, you go see this for the action. You go see it for the car chases, which are really well done. And you go see it for the martial arts, which for some reason, he always takes off his clothes whenever he fights people.
He uses his clothes as weapons.
Yeah, exactly. I've tried to do
the same thing, but unfortunately it just looks awkward.
Whatever I do, I just kind of trip up in my own underpants and fall over.
Exactly. I usually end up beating my own ass when I try and do that.
And one of the things that's making some buzz about this movie is the girl, which I'm not even going to pretend to pronounce her name.
I'll do it.
Okay, go.
Hold on. I got to find it.
Oh, it's like Natalie... Blah, blah, something like that. It's
Natalia Rudakova?
Rakova.
That's easy.
Oh, whatever.
What's wrong with you?
You have to be gorgeous like Olga Kurylenko for me to learn your name for your first movie.
She is gorgeous.
No, I'm not big on redheads.
She's got that hot red hair.
Well, if she's sort of like the Eurotrash version of Lindsay Lohan. If you could call Lindsay Lohan, I guess would be the Ameritrash version of herself from the Disney Channel days.
The Ameritrash version.
but no, she's...
That's awesome.
But I'm not a big redhead fan, so she was... But she wasn't as sexy as she could have been, I guess. Mm-hmm. But then again, that's just me. You could have put Olga Kurylenko
in
there.
You like those Ameritrash girls.
I don't like the redheads though. I'm not big on the freckly faces.
Something wrong.
They got freckly, and she's got like a freckle on her lip, which makes it look like she has poop on her lip.
Right. Wait, I just found an interesting story about her. You want to hear it?
Sure.
She was discovered streetwalking.
Yeah, she was. Luke Besson found her. Streetwalking. She wasn't a prostitute.
Just walking down the street. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean it's sort of like the Lana Turner thing where you go into a soda shop and you find her. Well, at least that's what Luc Besson's saying. I mean, he is French. Like, wait, we went and we found my prostitute. And I'm like, hey, when you're done, can you be in my movie?
Fair enough.
That is how Luc Besson talks.
Sounds exactly
I interviewed
like, yeah, it sounds exactly like Luc Besson. But let me say this about Transporter. I didn't see it, obviously, because, well, I'm the lame guy here. But...
What website did you go to that just started talking to you?
Nothing. Don't worry about it. Anyways.
You were trying to find a sound clip of Luc Besson, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Okay, go on. Say what you have to say.
But no, Transporter, they could make these movies forever and I would go see them because they're awesome.
Yeah, they're fun
movies.
They're
fun.
And it's directed by a guy named Olivier Megaton.
Olivier Megaton. Yeah. I mean, how awesome is that name? That name totally rocks.
There you go. Well, the movie kind of rocks.
All right. Time to go to break.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And we're back here on Fat Guys, the Movies. Time to roll into our next segment. We got the reviews out of the way. That's good.
Yay.
It's always good.
Yay.
Always makes me feel
warm and fuzzy.
Productive. Well, productive, I guess. So, moving on to our indie spotlight, another movie to talk about. It is Milk. And this one stars Sean Penn as Harvey Milk.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
If homosexuals are allowed their civil rights, then so would prostitutes or thieves or anyone else.
40 years old, and I haven't done a thing.
I'm not going to be forced out of San Francisco by social deviants and incorrigibles.
We need one of our own in office.
We could have a revolution here. I don't do losing.
Is it fair to say that if he went full R word in I Am Sam, he's going full F word in Milk?
Wow. I don't know if I can appropriately respond to that, I guess. But anyways, I'm hearing a lot of good things about this film.
I've been waiting for days to say that.
God, I don't doubt it. Anyways, the actual movie is about, it's the story of California's first openly gay elected official named Harvey Milk, San Francisco supervisor who was assassinated along with mayor in San Francisco by San Francisco supervisor.
Telling the ending of the entire ending
of the
movie.
Yeah, but it's a true story. That's the synopsis.
Is that really literally the synopsis?
Literally the synopsis on IMDb.
What the hell's the point of seeing the movie? That'd be like, you know,
it's about the uprising.
Screw Gus Van Sant. That's what I say. This guy is an idiot. This movie may be awesome, but Gus Van Sant's an idiot. The guy needs to be kicked in the teeth. I mean, this is the guy who remade Psycho, and probably the synopsis of that said, in this movie, a woman gets killed in a motel by a guy who pretends to be his mother because he has a split personality.
Spoiler alert. But anyways, but everybody knows that Harvey Milk got assassinated.
No, they don't.
It's not a shocker.
Honestly,
okay? This is not going to be a shocker movie.
No, here's the thing. You ask, if you were to go back 3 months before this movie really kind of got picked up on the buzz, you ask your average person who didn't live in San Francisco, because that's where he's from, not because, he's from San Francisco, isn't he?
Right.
Yeah. So he has somebody outside of San Francisco where there's probably greater awareness for him because he's a local dude. You ask your average person, I don't care whether they come from the Heartland or they're walking down the street in New York City, you say, who's Harvey Milk? They'll be like, I have no idea.
Right. Okay.
I'd never heard of. I don't know who the guy was until.
But anyways, he's the first openly gay elected official in the history of San Francisco. It was a big deal back in the
78.
70s, yeah. 70s when he was alive.
I think 78. Well, he was alive in the 60s, too, but he was probably alive in the 50s, because wasn't he like 40 when he got...
Yeah. Well, and I will say this. Let me just say this. Sean Penn, good actor. He is good in every... Even in that crappy All the King's Men movie,
good. He was terrible in that movie.
I thought he was good in that movie. I thought the movie overall was just abysmal, but... He was good. He is a good actor.
He was terrible in that movie with Nicole Kidman in the United Nations, The Interpreter.
Okay, sure. Josh Brolin, also good. Josh Brolin's actually generating a lot of Oscar buzz.
Yes. Well, actually, you know who I'm interested in seeing in this movie is James Franco.
James Franco plays Harvey Milk's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Emile Hirsch, also in it. He's pretty decent.
And big surprise, Lucas Grabeel plays a gay guy in this movie.
And really, the most buzz coming out is Allison Pill, who you'll remember as she was one of the daughters in Dan in Real Life.
Yeah,
she was in Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, and she's getting a lot of buzz. This might be a nice big breakout performance for her.
She was also in Jury Duty with Pauly Shore. No,
was she?
No, she wasn't.
God. You know what would be funny is if you actually got one of these.
If she did,
you know. But even more obscure, she was in You're Invited to Mary-Kate and Ashley's Camping Party back in 1998.
Oh, awesome. I wish you were invited. I bet you were invited to Mary-Kate and Ashley's.
I'm always invited to Mary-Kate and Ashley's.
Did you braid their hair and do makeup on them?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So I think Milk, it's a very politically charged film, but it also, it's one of those... kind of semi-period pieces in the late 70s, and it has a certain relevance to what's going on today, especially in California with Proposition 8 and all that good stuff. So it's an interest. I find
these
movies interesting.
That's a bit of a stretch, but yeah, go on.
No, well, I mean, anyways.
Because there's a gay issue on the ballot?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, now that there's protests. Anyways.
There's always protests.
All politics aside, I find these movies interesting.
I'm going to protest the movie because I think he shouldn't go full F word in this movie. I'm going to protest it.
But I find these movies fascinating because they tell a story of something that I was not aware of previously.
Yeah, and now you know how it ends.
I like learning. Well, I knew. You look it up on Wikipedia.
Look it up on Wikipedia. You know the Titanic story, but, you know.
Oh, come on. That's a terrible analogy.
Okay. You know that.
Everyone knows the Titanic sinks.
I'll give you a good example.
Spoiler alert.
Apollo 13.
Everyone does.
Apollo 13. If you weren't alive in whatever it was, 1973, and you didn't know the whole, you knew that there was an issue with Apollo 13, but you
didn't
know.
Didn't the poster say the story of the first moon mission not to actually go to the moon or something like that?
Yeah, but you didn't know if somebody died in it. You didn't know how they got. You didn't know exactly how they got back. You didn't know what happened.
I don't know.
In there.
I don't think that's a spoiler. I think that's dumb.
What?
To think that that's a spoiler.
You're an idiot.
Of any kind. Whatever.
You're an idiot.
So go see Milk this weekend.
I hope that Gus Van Sant makes a movie about you.
Yeah, it would probably suck.
It would be.
I'm not that interesting. I'm not as interesting as Harvey Milk, I guess.
This is the guy who directed a Hanson video, for crying out loud, after he became huge. And Good Will Hunting was a crappy movie anywhere. There, I said it.
Oh, we're done talking.
Good Will Hunting.
Let's move on to the box office. So that
how do you like them apples, Mr. Miller?
Urge to beat the crap out of you virtually. So, moving on to the box office. Last week, of course, this little vampire movie named Twilight.
I've been informed by the Twilight fans, the Twilighters, that it's not a vampire movie.
What's not? They're vampires. Well, what the heck is it?
In my review, I said I prefer more vampires in my vampire movies. And I got flamed out the wazoo by all these Twilighters saying, it's not a vampire movie, it's a love story. So
with vampires.
Yeah, and then they're like, no, it's a metaphor. And then it was great.
He's literally a vampire. Yeah, he literally wants to suck her blood.
Yeah.
That's vampire.
The best part about, even though it like completely creamed the box office, it's
69.637 million.
There are two things that I took away because I didn't like the movie. I thought it was a terrible movie. And this is what I brought away from it. Because whenever there's a movie that I think's terrible and it does super well, it always bothers me. You know?
Okay.
What I took away from this is, first of all, it didn't make the 70 million that everyone predicted. I mean, it was close, but it was originally predicted over 70 million, and then when the finals came in, it was 69 and a half.
You're really finding a lot of solace in the $400,000 miss.
Well, here's the other thing. It made half of its money, more than half its money on opening day.
This is probably where I'll agree with you, in the sense that I think where you're going with this is that it's going to fall off drastically in its second week.
It's
going to
sink like a stone.
And I will agree with
that. Yeah.
Because I think and it was funny because I asked my mom, who's a famous, show contributor in a way.
Well, she contributed you.
Right.
I mean, I guess she's responsible for part of it at least.
But she's also a big Twilight fan, and she was so disappointed when I came home from the screening or talked to her after the screening and told her what I thought, because I didn't like it. We talked about it last week. But she went to see it on Sunday, and first of all, she went to a theater right in Cleveland suburbs, a normally busy area, absolutely empty.
Really?
Second of all, she kind of agreed with me in the sense that it's one of those movies that even the major Twilight fans, they'll see it and they liked it. And, even if, they're completely blind to the fact that it was poorly made, it's not the kind of movie that they'd want to go see again. She said it's not the kind of movie she'd want to go see over and over and over again. Whereas, there's other fan films, Titanic, The Dark Knight, that catch people and you want to see it again. You want to share it with other people. I think Twilight, their fans really kind of fit into two categories. There are the fans that were completely blinded and just wanted to see Edward and Bella on screen and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And there are the other fans that still like the book better. And either way, I don't think either one of those groups is going to want to go see this movie 12 times.
Yeah. There may be the diehard 15-year-old girls who will see it over. But
I don't think there's enough of them, though, to make a difference.
No, I really don't. And it was showed over the weekend, whereas, like, people compared this to Sex and the City, which made, like, $2 million on its midnight show and then ended up with 60-some million over the weekend. It was front-loaded, but not like Twilight was. I mean, Twilight had this had a hugely steep drop, and I think it's just going to start dropping even farther, considering that you've got three new movies coming out this week. And for like the average person who wants to see the sweeping epic romance are going to go see Australia before they see Twilight.
Right. So, sure. Yeah.
But what do you think's going to win the weekend this week?
I don't know. I hope it's Australia because I think people should really go out. It's a really good, you know, everybody kind of movie. Mm-hmm. I think Four Christmases is going to do well. I really honestly think that James Bond could win the weekend.
Really?
Could come back in its third weekend and defeat, because it beat Bolt last week. It held very strong. And I think the drop off, I really don't think there's a strong enough release, be it Australia, Transporter, or Four Christmases, to really topple the kind of money that James Bond could make on a holiday weekend.
Well, I'm going to say that I think Four Christmases is going to win the weekend. Because even though Australia is good, I just don't think it's getting mixed buzz. And also on top of that, it's getting it's a longer movie, so you have fewer showings, and I think it's in fewer theaters than Four Christmases as well. It's in fewer theaters. I think
because it's 3 hours long.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's going to be in fewer theaters, but then it's going to be in fewer showings in those theaters. And I think I don't think James Bond will do well, but I think Transporter is going to pull a little bit of that audience because, I mean, Transporter 3 is basically the first 5 minutes of James Bond. But for the whole movie. And then I think Bolt's going to come back. And this is why, because there's nothing, none of these movies are for kids. And this is a huge weekend for families to go to movies. So I think you're going to see Bolt creep up into that. Bolt will stay in the top five, I think. I think it'll be like Four Christmases. I would say Four Christmases, Australia, maybe James Bond, and then maybe Bolt.
Okay.
Over Transporter 3.
Fair enough.
So.
Cool. And lastly but not leastly, we have, what are you talking? We're doing Bring on the Hype.
Favorite?
Our most anticipated movie of December.
Yes.
I'll start. Mine's The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke.
That's right.
Can't wait to see that movie.
Yes.
It looks awesome. It looks awesome in a very awesome way.
I'm curious to see it because I think he's having that more critical comeback. So I'll be curious.
Right, the resurgence.
Yeah, I hear his performance is fantastic.
And Marissa Tomei, you know.
Yeah.
Big fan of Marissa
Tomei. I love Marissa Tomei, yeah. And
Okay, what's your pick of the week? Or what's your December?
For December, you know what I'm going to say? It's a crappy month, December. There's not a whole lot coming out that I'm all that excited about. Even the big movies like 7 Pounds, which is Will Smith something like Yes Man. I'm not real excited to see those. The only one that I think is going to do really well that I'm kind of excited is Bedtime Stories, believe it or not.
Interesting.
It's a Christmas movie. It's going to be the only movie for kids that weekend. I think it's going to do very well. And that's one, because like Benjamin Button, all the in Spirit, I don't think those are going to be that good.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Awesome. Nice. We'll go to break. We'll be right back.
All right. Well, I, as we come back from Fat Guys at the Movies break, we're entering into the internet only segment.
We barely made it into the break this time. We just kind of sputtered into the break last segment.
Yeah, like something walked by our windows, and we both kind of like, huh, what? Oh, I guess we're going to break. We got completely distracted.
We were watching the eclipse.
Yes. Okay. We were talking about December movies, and I was making a comment that if you look at just the slate of movies coming out this December, it is a week. For as awesome as this summer was, this December is going to stink.
Okay.
Because look at what you've got. On December 5th, you've got Cadillac Records, which who cares about that? And Punisher Warzone, which I think even fewer people care about because it's
going
to suck.
I really think that's going to suck. I mean, honestly, going to suck. Big, huge hardness.
Oh, yeah. And you've got Frost Nixon opening in limited, but
which was a good movie. Saw it.
That was well done, but it's completely irrelevant in today's. I mean, it's it's an irrelevant movie, I think.
I don't know. I think people are sick of the whole presidential thing.
Yeah. And
after that whole election, people are just like, I don't even want to hear it anymore.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Move on.
Yeah.
But then the next week you've got The Day the Earth Stood Still, which has potential, but it's Keanu.
It has potential to not suck bad.
Yeah. Then you got like Delgo and Nothing Like the Holidays. Again, I don't think anyone cares about that. You got Shay opening, which again, getting some note, but really not a big deal. And then you've got 7 Pounds. Like I said, I don't think that's getting much buzz. Tales of Despero might be cute, but again, not getting much buzz. And Yes Men looks terrible. Brothers right. Bloom's coming out.
Which looks awesome.
Yeah, but it's not going to get a wide release until like January, probably.
Right, which sucks.
And then on Christmas Day, you've got Bedtime Stories, which I think will be good. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, which is a vacuum of interest from people. I mean, I see advertising for it.
At least in our particular circle. We were discussing this earlier, Film School Rejects. We have not covered this movie at all, but other websites are really into it. Like, I know a lot of people that are really gung-ho for this movie.
Really?
And the rest of us are like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't think anyone's, I just don't have a good feeling that anyone cares about this movie. You got Marley and Me, which is a cute movie, but again, nothing. You got Spirit, which is going to be terrible. You know what's funny about the Spirit?
It's going to be beyond terrible.
My wife went and saw Twilight on Sunday because she read the book and she enjoyed it. And she came back and she's like, oh, the Spirit's going to suck. Just on her own. She's like, we saw the trailer. That was terrible. And then you got Valkyrie, which is also going to suck.
Right.
Nice. But you know, let's use Valkyrie as a nice lead into my idea. I got to bring this up. We talked about this earlier this year, and I think we lost steam because I went out of town to do a junket for Disney, and you and Dave Metzger were doing the show, you guys talked about it as well.
Talked about starting our own religion.
Absolutely. And the reason for this is, you know, it's holiday times and, you know, it's a tough economy right now. Right. So, you know, everyone's in a budget crunch and, you know, I'm cash poor right now and I need some money. So to buy Christmas gifts for family and friends. So I am going to go ahead with starting our own religion.
Okay.
And I'm going to start it by writing a book called Fat Guyanetics, which tells you how to release your inner fat.
Ooh.
And I'll make up some wacky science fiction-y concept about like some guy from another planet who banished people to Earth. You know, some crazy
right,
shit
and
like
slowed
that.
Their metabolism.
Yeah, exactly, to make them more powerful. And then the slower your metabolism, the fatter you get, the more bulk you are. And it'd be like midichlorians. I'll like work midichlorians in there because there'll be more of your body, which means there's more room for the midichlorians. But I won't call them midichlorians. I'll call them Zandagotes or something like that, okay. You know, because that's the whole Scientology thing with thetans, you know, these little stuff inside your body or whatever.
Right.
And I'm going to start the Church of Fat Guyontology.
Fat Guyontology.
So people, send your check now. just make it out to Kevin Carr. Just to begin with, because I don't have the paperwork filed for this yet. So just make it out to Kevin Carr. I take a suggested donation of $500. But if you want to give more, I simply encourage that.
Right.
But I think we need to start doing this. Can we get the domain Fat Guyontology and Fat Guyonetics? We should get those.
Sure.
Let's go order those now so that some bastard...
I'm probably already doing it as you speak. I don't see any reason why I shouldn't be doing it right now.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're starting our own religion, and I think I actually will put something like this together.
Okay.
And encourage people to send money.
You know what's funny is that the last time you went off and did something like this, people thought it was silly. They're like, there's no way he's going to make brown ribbons and start an anti-Dane Cook movement. And look at what happened, people. Let me remind you that Kevin Carr is very serious about this religion thing. So if you send him money, he will get rid of your, what did you call him?
Zygotes?
You can't sound too much like zygotes. But
no.
We'll get you the book, Fat Guyonetics, when it comes out in 2012.
Absolutely. Right. And then they can make a movie out of it.
Yeah, so. Okay. Starting our own religion. I like it. Let's do it, man. I'm okay with this.
Yes. And here's another thing. It's probably not going to end up in the show here because I haven't had the MP3 sent to me. But in terms of the box office, I was on the air in Fargo, North Dakota with a station that I do the show with a lot. I do right. their show and I do their movie reviews. And I predicted Bolt was going to win the weekend.
Right.
Which, if you recall, did not happen.
Wishful thinking at best.
Yes. So... the host bet me that 10 push-ups that Twilight would win. Right. So we'll have an MP3 of me doing push-ups live on the air in Fargo, North Dakota, with my son refereeing the whole thing.
Right. That we'll put that up on what? Fatguys.com.
We'll put that up on Fat Guys. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Sweet. So moving on, we got a Fat Guy 5. It's woohoo! Your turn again to do the Fat Guy 5.
Oh, I just put this. I figured. Would you agree with a lot of these at least?
I think so. I think this is good. I mean, yeah.
Number three is your kind of...
Number three is what I do on Thanksgiving. So, yeah. Cool. So this is our favorite things to watch on Thanksgiving.
Which number three is watch gay porno and masturbate. That happens to be what Neil likes to do.
You're terrible.
Go figure.
Spoiler.
Okay.
Anyways, number five. I'll do number five. Number five
you're
is
going to do number five?
Yeah.
Okay.
Roadrunner cartoons.
Yes, and I'll tell you why. This is why I put this on the list. Many, many years ago when I was like in junior high school, for some reason, while there was football on the other networks, one of the networks in Cleveland, because mm-hmm. That's where my family's from, they were showing like all these, it was like literally a marathon of Roadrunner cartoons.
Yeah.
And we had the whole family in there watching Roadrunner cartoons, loaded down with turkey and tryptophan, and we were howling. It was the most hysterical time. So I like watching cartoons on Thanksgiving because it's something fun to do with the kids too.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to do number? Oh, I'll do number.
Number
four
is yours.
Number four is A Christmas Story, because it's early enough in the season where it doesn't get irritating. Because
right.
we see way too much of The Christmas Story come Christmas.
Right. That's so cool. Number three is watching gay porn. No, I almost slipped there. Number three is watching football games. Yes. I like football. Football,
which is kind of like gay porn. A lot of people reaching under each other's legs.
Fair enough.
Moving things around, nice. Wrestling around, and grunting and sweating.
Sweet. Well, the next two are yours. I don't want to play this game anymore.
Number two is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. That's sort of like something to have in the background. As cheesy and as goofy and as stupid as some of the hosts are, it's still kind of a tradition. It's fun to sit. I like for my family, I'll make like breakfast for the kids and everything.
Oh,
and,
look at you!
Yeah. And while we're watching Macy's Thanksgiving Day, and you got the smell of turkey cooking and all that kind of stuff.
Right. You have to start cooking freaking turkey at like 8 o'clock in the morning if you want it done by the afternoon. That's stupid. Stupid holiday.
I'm cooking the turkey for everybody. I got like a 22-pound turkey, which at like 20 minutes a pound. I better go put it in now.
It's like one of your kids, man.
Exactly. My child doesn't weigh as much as my turkey does.
It's crazy. So, just don't accidentally cook your child. That would be a terrible accident.
Yeah, yeah. I think Susan Smith did that, and she doesn't have any kids. No, she just drowned them. Anyways,
wow.
That was a callback to earlier in the episode.
Right, when we were talking about people who murder their own kids.
That's right.
Fair enough.
And speaking of murdering our own kids, no, that has no relevance on this. The number one thing I like watching during Thanksgiving is Mystery Science Theater 3000. Did you ever watch this show?
No.
Back when I was in college, which I think was when you were still pooping your pants, you were like 12, I think. And
or I was not alive.
you were alive. You had to have been alive. 1992?
Oh, yeah. I don't think I was pooping my pants, but I was definitely dressing up as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man for Halloween back then.
That's awesome.
So, which isn't much different from now, but...
You don't have to dress up.
Right.
You just have to take off your shirt and your white paste. You just look like a marshmallow that dropped on the floor and got covered in dog hair.
I hate you. So Mystery Science Theater 3000 is your freaking pick for number one, right?
Okay. Well, and the reason for that is they used to do a marathon. They called it Turkey Day, and they do 30 hours, which is like a metric day. They do 30 hours of Mystery Science Theater episodes on Turkey Day, on Thanksgiving Day, and that was always a lot of fun to watch. And my family hated watching it, so it was always great to just flip it from football to Mystery Science Theater and piss everybody off in the house.
Okay. Can I throw one out there that's a tradition in my family?
As long as it involves watching gay porn and masturbating.
No, it's not gay porn. This is actually it's regular porn. It's more of my mom's favorite thing to do.
Okay.
Favorite movie to watch, and it's Home for the Holidays, which I just discovered today was directed by Jodie Foster.
Is that the one with Jonathan Taylor Thomas, the Lion King kid?
No. This is the one with Holly Hunter and Robert Downey Jr., where Holly Hunter plays the girl who goes, she goes back home for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
I am totally not aware of this movie.
Robert Downey Jr. plays her quirky gay brother, and Dylan McDermott's in it.
Does he get a big metal suit and start blowing the shit up?
No, but that would be awesome. I think this year we're going to follow Home for the Holidays with Iron Man. We'll complete the circle. But that's literally my family, my mom and my aunts, because I have like five aunts on my mom's side. My mom has like four sisters. And I think four. Yeah, something like that. Three or four. But they always watch that. Every single Thanksgiving, it never fails. Even if they're not together, they're watching it.
You know what you should do? You should, if you have like a DVD player and a Blu-ray player that go to different feeds into your TV, put in Home for the Holidays and Iron Man at the same time and just flip between the two and like see who wins at the end.
I guarantee you Holly Hunter, because she was hot back then.
She was.
This is like late 90s Holly Hunter. So
Holly Hunter doesn't look bad now.
No.
And sort of that like stripper that's a little too beyond her years but still kind of sexy with the black lights on her.
Right. Somehow you brought it back to stripper. But hey, you know, whatever.
I haven't mentioned strippers in weeks.
That's true. You are due for a good stripper comment.
I'm due for a good stripper. Oh, the doorbell rang and she's here. I gotta go.
Nice. All right. Well, with that, we'll be back to wrap you up in a moment. And we're back, and we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right.
I'm always so excited to get this show over with.
I know, just because you can stop talking to me.
Yeah, well, I can stop having you make weird pornography references. I will not go beyond that. You have, in order to truly get that joke, you have to go back and listen to the internet only segment this week.
And I will plug just if you haven't. Listen to the internet only segment, go back and listen to it, and you know, you're going to hear my plan for my new religion, Fat Guy Netics.
Oh, right. You know, it's like it happened so long ago, I almost forgot that we talked about starting our own religion.
Yeah, Fat Guy Netics and the Church of Fat Guyontology.
And then we're going to make movies about Nazis, like good Nazis, though.
I'm not going to make movies about Nazis.
No, that's, yeah, no. Well,
unless they're
see.
Like really sexy Nazis with, you know, like the good looking, like.
They
like,
tried to assassinate Hitler. Yeah, totally.
Not that kind of good look. I'm talking like.
But they were
adult
the sexy ones
stars.
That tried to do it.
Whatever.
She Werewolves of the SS.
Well, now that's a classic.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, time to do our DVD roundup. And this was a really lame week of DVDs. Can I just say that up front?
Well, it's a lame week, but there was a lot coming out, and I think all in anticipation for Black Friday.
Right, but nothing good came out. Very few good things came out. So I almost abstained from making a pick this week, but yeah, I did find one.
I do a top five for the radio, and by the time I got down to like my number five, I'm like, this isn't a great movie, but I'll put it on the list because there's not a whole lot else to put on there.
Right, despite the fact that a lot of stuff physically did come out.
Yes.
So. Okay, what's your pick?
Oh, my pick is 24 Redemption. In case you missed it, TiVoing it on Sunday night,
right?
You can go to the DVD store or Target or wherever and get it and watch it. This is the sort of the prequel to the next season of 24 that leads into it,
which is coming back, right? It's coming back in January.
And the thing is, this should really have not been called 24 Redemption. It should have been called 2.
Okay.
Because it was a two-hour movie and it takes place between 3 and 5 p.m.
Oh.
In Africa.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like in real time?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the gimmick of the show. So it's in real time. It's from 2 to 5, from 3 to 5 in Africa. It's in Africa, but it also takes place in Washington and stuff like that.
God, that show blows my mind.
I love that
show. I've never really watched it, but the concept of it just blows my mind.
What's great about 24 is if you get like a season, if you watch them all at once, it just gets ridiculous. It's something you really kind of have to watch week to week.
Is it redonkulous?
It is redonkulous.
Redonkulous is my new favorite stupid word of the week.
Really? You know what's my favorite new stupid word of the week?
What?
Neil.
Okay. My pick of the week is...
Charles in Charge.
Really? Charles in Charge?
No, that came out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, man.
Tell me your pick of the week.
No, well, I changed it, I think.
Okay, what is it?
I am picking Superman Doomsday. I think that's cool.
Is that on is it Blu-ray? Because that came out like a year ago on DVD.
Well, it's a special edition on DVD. That one's pretty cool. There's also a George Carlin DVD, which, you know, we lost George Carlin this year. I think it's only appropriate that I pick George Carlin, It's Bad For You, on DVD.
Yeah.
It's also on Blu-ray. I mean, George Carlin in high definition.
Absolutely.
How awesome is that?
And he filmed this special, just a couple months before he died.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because he died in June, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah, he filmed it in March. Yeah, no, that's a good one. But that is
a good one.
What's the stinker? Do you want to give the stinker?
The stinker, yeah, the stinker is Meet Dave, because that movie sucked.
It was a terrible movie. You know what's funny is I have a policy that a lot of times, like if I get a DVD if I were to get, say, The Dark Knight on DVD to review, I probably wouldn't watch it again because I've seen it already twice in the theaters.
Right. So I've seen the movie, watch the special features.
I'd watch the special features, listen to the commentary, all that kind of stuff. But if it's a movie that I didn't like, I always make a point to watch it again. Just to give it the benefit of the doubt. I watched Meet Dave again. I will say this, it's not as bad as you remember it from the theaters because you kind of know what to expect, but it's still not a good movie.
Right.
You know, it's still much more, you have to kind of take it as a kid's movie, but it's still a bad movie all around.
Okay. Fair enough.
And there's no it's not even like there's decent special features to it.
They just gave up.
They have the characters be interviewed in character for like 10 minutes.
Oh, that's even dumber.
Yeah.
Anyways, cool. Moving on, review wrap up time.
You know what would have been a great special feature?
What?
Is to take DVD copies of Norbit and Meet Dave and pummel and like stone Eddie Murphy and Brian Robbins with them.
Okay, cool. So maybe we can arrange that for the sequel.
I'll do it through my Church of Fat Guy Ontology.
Meet Dave again. Anyways, time to do a review wrap up. We'll start with the two movies that you saw. We'll start with Four Christmases, which you said.
It kind of rocks.
And Transporter 3.
Also kind of rocks. There's a theme going here.
Lots of kind
of
rocks there. And then Australia. What was your grade for Australia?
Australia kind of rocks, mate.
I said totally rocks.
Crikey.
I'm a big fan of that Australia movie.
Yes.
Next week on the show, we're going to be reviewing Punisher War Zone. We'll review Cadillac Records and then Frost Nixon, which there's a wide variety of movies there.
You know they're making a sequel to Frost Nixon? It's going to be called Winfrey Clinton.
Oh, wow. Sweet. In between now and then, you can get a hold of us, fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store. Search Fat Guys the Movies. We come right up. We're absolutely free, wide open for you. And
when Neil says free, he doesn't just mean money-wise.
I mean totally
free. He's
free
for dates. So Hugh Jackman, give him a call.
Right. Email us, fatguysthefilmschoolrejects.com. Leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. And with that, have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back on the flip side in December and whatnot.
Gobble, gobble.